If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 15, we're going to be there today. And while you're looking for Matthew 15, let me pray for us. Father, again, we just thank you that we're here and we're in your presence. Lord, we're thankful that you came and you met us during worship. Lord, now we ask that you speak to us through your word. This is a familiar passage and we've read it, but we don't understand it. So Lord, speak to us, show us today what you want from us and for us from this passage. As always, we welcome the Holy Spirit to be with us because we know that as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no other spirit in the room. There can be no spirit of distraction, and there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in this room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way. And Spirit, we do long for you to do just that. Amen. Well, ultimately today, I want to look at Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to start by reading those, but to understand the context, we're going to go back to verse 1 and look at it all the way from verse 1. So, Stephen, put up 18 and 19, please. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Again, to understand these verses, we got to go all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 15. So Stephen, go to verse 1. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Get some context. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Of course, the scene starts with the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus on an issue of legalism. Thank you, Christine. The Pharisees noticed that Jesus' disciples did not participate in ceremonial hand washing. Now, this was not hygiene. This was ceremonial hand washing. But here's the thing we got to understand. This hand washing that they referred to was not required in the Old Testament, and it was not required by the Mishnah. The Mishnah was the extra-biblical traditions that the Jewish people followed. Rather, this was simply part of the oral tradition of the Pharisees. In fact, it says the tradition of the elders there in the verse. So this was not Old Testament law. This was not Mishnah. Now, it is believed that the Pharisees derived this false belief from misinterpreting Exodus 30:19. But the real issue here is legalism on the part of the Pharisees, an external legalism, so that the others could see how pious the Pharisees were. We all know that the Pharisees were all about appearances and pious public action, right? So it is into this context, then, with the Pharisees trying to appear real pious and have an exterior that looked all good, it's into that context that Jesus makes the statements in verses 18 and 19 that we want to look at. All right, let's go to verses 3 through 7, Stephen. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" Ouch. "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they're not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites." Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. We'll get into that verse in just a minute. Jesus holds no punch. Don't you love that about Jesus? Like, the Pharisees come out, "Hey, why don't your disciples wash their hands?" And he's like, "You hypocrites, you break the law, you break the rules." Like, he just calls them out. I love that. But Jesus starts with an actual command of God to honor your mother and father. Remember, the Pharisees were just using one of their own oral traditions. Jesus refers to one of the Ten Commandments. Do you see the difference? Apparently, Jesus had firsthand knowledge of them violating this commandment. What he's getting at here is they would take money that was supposed to be for their parents, would say, "Oh no, I'm gonna give this money to God," and appear real pious in that they were giving the money to God, but that money was supposed to be for their parents. But the biggest thing to note here is that Jesus used the Ten Commandments, not just a man-made rule like the Pharisees did. Go to verse 8. Verse 8 now is a quote from Isaiah. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Go to verse 9. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Jesus is saying that you try to speak truth with your mouth and lips, but your heart is far from God. And as for Jesus, the greater issue is always the matter of the heart, right? So now in verse 10, we get into the real lesson that Jesus is getting at here. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Jesus calls the crowd to him to give them an accurate teaching on the matter. Nothing that goes into the body through the mouth will make a person unclean. Sadly, I still people try to follow these rules today. I say all the time, I'm like, wow, really? Okay. Anyway, if it goes into your body through the mouth, it does not make you unclean. Jesus is making that very clear. The real issue is what comes out of our heart through the mouth, right? All right, verse 12. Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" I love that about the disciples. Of course they're offended. It's their job. It's in their job description. Verses 13 and 14. He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Jesus, again, holds no punches here. He says flat out, the Pharisees are not from God the Father, and if you follow them, you will fall into a pit. The Greek word here, pit, means a cistern or a hole in the ground. So he's talking about a literal, physical hole in the ground. If you follow the Pharisees, you're going to fall into a cistern. Verse 15. Peter said, "Explain the parables to us." The disciples still don't get it. The culture of the Pharisees was so strong, they couldn't see any other way to understand this. The outside, the external, is what made a person clean or unclean. You see, here's the thing. I think belief in this system was so strong because it's easy. It's easy to simply watch the external. It's easy to simply wash your hands. It's easy to avoid the outcast and the sick. It's easy to follow in the ways of the Pharisees. It's easy to do external things, and people see you do them, so it feels good. So Peter and the others don't know what Jesus is talking about. They don't have any other way to understand this, and neither do we. You think you understand these next few verses, but you will be shocked. All right, verses 16 through 20. I love, Jesus is now speaking to his disciples. "Are you so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Verse 16. Jesus holds no punches with his disciples. "Are you dumb? Why don't you get this?" But the implication is that they should have understood this. That shows you how powerful the Pharisees had set the culture of their day for them to not have any other way of seeing this than the external. Verse 17. This is a really straightforward statement. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth into the stomach comes out of the body?" Some basic biology. Now, 18 is where it gets really good. This shocked me, honestly. Verse 18, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them." Jesus is now shocking his audience because he's turning away from this idea that it's all external. Now, the Greek word used here is defiled, has a lexicon definition of defile, pollute, unclean. But catch this. This is if you get nothing else today, get this. A deeper study of this word shows that the word and the concept here means to be defiled by treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. Let me say that again. What Jesus is saying here is to be defiled by treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. Do we do that 1,000 times a day? 1,000 times a day, we take something that is sacred and we treat it as if it were just common or ordinary. The Pharisees are busy washing their hands, but Jesus says, you're treating the sacred with contempt. And now I'm beginning to wonder if the key to this whole thing, the sins that we fall into in the next verse, are because we treat the sacred as ordinary. This right here sets up the rest of the thing, the rest of the teaching. You treat the sacred as ordinary, therefore, this is where you end up. I'm wondering, is treating everything as sacred the key to a pure heart? Now let's look at verse 19. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Jesus now gives us some very specific examples. But our tendency is to see these in the light of our modern context. So we have to look a little deeper and see what Jesus was getting at. So I want to look at each one of these words, each one of these concepts, the meaning behind it, the historical context, what was Jesus really saying? But as we look at these next few things here, there's a connection to the Ten Commandments. Remember that Jesus, the Pharisees came up and said, why don't your disciples wash their hands, which is not a commandment? And Jesus says, why do you dishonor your mother and father, which is a commandment? All of these here in verse 19 follow the Ten Commandments. After the first one, evil thought, they follow in order of 6th through the 10th commandment. And you might look at that and go, wait a minute, I don't get it. I'll show you. Now, the first one mentioned here is evil thought. The Greek word translated here as thought means imagination, reasoning, or deep thought. So these are not casual, passing thoughts. Imagination and reasoning imply deep, ongoing thought. So these evil thoughts are something that we've put a lot of mental gymnastics into. Then the Greek word translated here as evil means morally culpable, derelict, vicious, atrociously wicked. The sense, so to speak, here is a serious level of wickedness in terms of morals that came from a lot of deep thought. We've put a lot of effort into being wicked, is what he's saying. But again, remember, Jesus is talking about what comes out of our mouth. Honestly, in our day, this kind of language is so common, we're numb to it. This really wicked, deep thought is just so common in our day, we just don't even notice it when it's happening anymore. But rather, see, here's the thing. Rather than seeing the person in front of us as sacred, we treat them as common or ordinary, and so we have no trouble saying these wicked things. If we saw the person in front of us as sacred, we would never speak that way or think that way. Now, the second one listed here is murder. This is the 6th of the 10 commandments. The Greek word here simply means murder or slaughter. Again, Jesus is talking about what comes out of our mouth. This is reminiscent of when Jesus says in the Beatitudes that if you're angry with your brother, it's the same as murder. Because again, Jesus is saying what makes you unclean is what's coming out of your mouth, but then he says murder. So to make the connection, we go back to the Beatitudes where Jesus says, if you're angry at your brother, it's as if you've murdered him. Now there's also a play on words going on here in the Greek. There's an alliteration. These first two, the evil thoughts and the murder, there's a play on words with an alliteration in the Greek. What's really odd is that alliteration ties all the way back to verse 13 in the word for plants. It says that if God did not plant it, that word and then evil thoughts and murder form an alliteration in the Greek that we miss in English. But Jesus is making the point here that evil thoughts and murder are the same. That's why he's using the play on words. Now, the third one is adultery. This is the 7th of the 10 commandments. The Greek word used here simply means adultery, but it's in the plural. It's very, very obvious and plain that Jesus put it in the plural. So he's talking about adulteries, meaning more than one or ongoing. It's a noun, so we can't look at it in verb form, but he's referring to many adulteries. But remember, again, Jesus is talking about what comes out of our mouth. How does adultery come out of our mouth? In a very real sense, adultery is taking something that is not yours. This could refer to speaking in a way as to take what is not yours. And again, if we look to the Beatitudes, this could refer to the lust in our hearts for those things that are not ours. Now catch this. Taking into consideration the previous verse, verse 18, this could mean treating sex as common or ordinary rather than sacred. Then the next one here, the fourth one, is sexual immorality. At first I was confused by this one because it seemed to be the same as the last one. But the alliteration now continues with this one. And in the Greek, it's the word porneia. And so whenever I've heard this passage preached before, they always use this sexual immorality to talk about pornography simply because the Greek word porneia is used here. But that misses the point completely. One of the ranges of meanings of this Greek word is unwedded stimulation or fulfillment of sexual desire. This word means any sexual stimulation or fulfillment outside of marriage. That's what the word means, right? Now, another range of meaning for this word, Greek words always have several levels of meaning, right? Another range of meaning is idolatry, and a third range of meaning is prostitution. The root of this word means to sell off. Stop and think about that for a minute. Porneia, the Greek word from where we get pornography, porneia means to sell off. Now, in the Old Testament, God was constantly accusing the Hebrews of prostitution and idolatry. That is being unfaithful to Yahweh. In our day, when we hear the word sexual immorality, we tend to think of our own culture and we think of adultery, affairs, pornography. I've always heard this passage preached that way. But given the total of this context and the full range of the words and the meanings here, and the way Jesus is structuring this thing, Jesus is probably talking about idolatry and prostitution and how we align ourselves to God. Now catch this. In following the order of the Ten Commandments, this one is thou shalt not steal. Sexual immorality, if you're following along the Ten Commandments, that would be thou shalt not steal. And the root of the word, porneia, means to sell off. Jesus is talking about idolatry. When he says sexual immorality here, we got to get our mind out of modern context and understand what Jesus is saying here. He goes, you're being idolatrous. Now, the fifth one in this list is theft. In Greek, it's the word kleptē, from where we get the word kleptomaniac. The word simply means to steal or theft. The last one is false testimony or slander. This one follows in the Ten Commandments. This is the second to last of the Ten Commandments. You shall not give false witness. Okay? So all these, again, from the sixth through the tenth, these follow the Ten Commandments. This whole list here in Matthew 15 is the Ten Commandments. Jesus is calling out the Pharisees for not following the Ten Commandments. So here's the thing, the condition of our heart, remember Jesus is always talking about our heart, right? The condition of our heart is tied to obedience to the Ten Commandments. But here's what I thought was really interesting. The words and the grammar that Jesus chose here in verse 19, at the root level of all of these words, the way he structures this, his word choice, the alliteration, the grammar, everything that he puts together here in verse 19 is about thievery. Taking what is not yours. Taking what is not yours is at some level involved with all of what taints our hearts. Because remember, he's talking about the condition of our heart. Everything that taints the condition of our heart, Jesus is tying to the issue or the idea of thievery. Taking what is not yours. Therefore, what comes out of our mouth is often aimed at what is taking something that's not ours. Does what we say rob another person of their dignity, their respect, their worth, their value? The Pharisees were only concerned with the external, washing their hands. The implication by Jesus here is that the Pharisees were guilty of all of these. Jesus wants us to be aware of how we are stealing with our mouth what does not belong to us, which betrays the condition of our heart. So our heart is always after something that is not ours. Isn't that profound? And doesn't that frame this whole thing completely different than what you've thought about it before? Verse 20. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. He just kind of wraps it up. All right, so let me wrap it up with this. The main point Jesus is trying to make here is about the condition of our heart. So how do we clean up our heart? How do we make sure that our heart is aligned with where Jesus wants it to be? I have three very quick thoughts. Three is a small number for me. Normally I've got like 17. Number one, repent. Ask the Lord to show you what you need to repent of. He's good like that. He'll show you that, right? What have I said that ultimately was stealing what did not belong to me? Ask that question while you're driving. And as you repent, just remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The way I get back to a clean heart aligned with Jesus, where have I been taking what does not belong to me? And as He shows you that, repent of it and claim 1 John 1:9 so that we can be restored into full righteousness. All right, the second thing that we can do is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember the gifts of the Spirit. There's a banner on the wall over here, but Stephen put up Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that are to be in our heart and come out of our mouth. Notice how these contrast to what was in Matthew 15:19. So the way we move from Matthew 15:19 to this is the Holy Spirit. Be being filled, as it says in Ephesians. An ongoing process of constantly being filled. You see, this is what is to come out of our heart, but this only comes from the Holy Spirit. Are we filling ourselves? Are we constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit? And number three, and finally, treat the ordinary as sacred. Because remember, Jesus said what defiles you is treating the sacred as ordinary. Let's flip it. Let's treat the ordinary as sacred. If we treat the ordinary as sacred, it's a wall of protection against verse 19. Do you see that? Stephen, there's a graphic there at the bottom. Pop that up there. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. What if we treat the ordinary as sacred? All right, Christina's going to come up and lead us in worship, or lead us in communion, I should say.